Go right on into chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now there was a murmuring. Now you say, well, I thought they were all in one accord. Well, sometimes murmuring, and Paul taught against murmuring, but we still could see that there was still of the old creation, weren't they? It was murmuring. Now, the word Grecian here in verse 1 comes from a Greek word that means Hellenes, that's what I want to say. These people were Jews by blood, but were natives of some Greek-speaking country. They were Jews like Timothy. He had a Greek father and a Jewish mother. Some of them might have even been proselyte Jews, but they were called the Grecians, and they were called Hellenes people. And then the Hebrews, of course, were those that were living in Jerusalem and around that area. Well, the Grecians were murmuring against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected of the daily ministration. Now, the daily ministration was the fact that all this was laid at the apostles' feet, and the apostles took upon their selves the obligation of distributing and helping the poor and the widows and the orphans and those around. Now, before this, possibly the leaders of the temple helped them and did that. When they became to know Christ, when they received Christ, why, they were outcasts from the temple, and so they weren't supported there anymore. It was the apostles' job to take care of these. They couldn't take care of all these and still preach the gospel. They would just couldn't. So the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now this is just not pleasing to us or to God. See, the word reason here comes from a Greek word to please, meaning to please. It doesn't have the thought of reasoning with the mind, but it's just not pleasing that we should leave the word of God, serve tables. Now this word table means just what it says, table. And many people think it means table like Jesus overturned money changers. But I don't believe that. I believe it has the thought of a table in which substance was put on to help the widows and the orphans and those people. And the word serve here comes from the same Greek word as our word deacon comes from, diakonos, to serve and to help people as they would come to this table to get help. Then he says, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this matter of taking care of the orphans and the widows, is the matter. And there was a qualification for these seven men. One is his honest report. Two, is they full of the Holy Ghost. Three, they were full of wisdom. Holy Spirit wisdom. Now, you might say, well, why would a person have to have these qualifications to serve these tables? Well, God used them in many ways in there, as we'll read later on. But again, we have a type, Israel in the last days, and their responsibility will be to take care of the world, of the things. They'll take over this responsibility. This will not just be actually for material things, but for spiritual things also, as we read here. Now, they chose out seven men. Seven is a number of completeness, and I think it also speaks of the fulfillment of the responsibilities of Israel. This in no way gives the church a right to have a board of deacons, which they use as scripture to back up this thought. This was not a board of deacons. This was just seven men that was chosen to do a job. And there's no thought here that we have in having a board of deacons to select a pastor or to do this or that we see in Christendom today. Then he says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, the apostles, the 12, didn't do anything but pray and give out the word. These seven chosen, they took care of material things in helping people, and they in turn also gave the word as was needed, and they prayed for the sick there. You can just almost picture Stephen and some of these others that they give them out some clothes to a sick old woman, and they lay hands on them right then and prayed for them. And so this was a real ministry for them. But the apostles, they prayed and for the mind of the Lord and to minister the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to read all these names. I do want to comment on two of them, though. Two of them he says something about. Stephen, he says he was full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost in verse 5. Then it comments on Nicholas, says that he was a proselyte of Antioch. This is the only two that they mention. All of these names are Greek names, by the way. And possibly they were Hellenists, or of these Grecians. I think this would have been a wise thing. If the Grecians would murmur, let's get Grecians to take care of it. Anyway, when they were set before the apostles, when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And they were set aside for this work by the laying on of hands. And the word of God increased, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests, notice that, isn't that something? A great company of priests were obedient to the faith. They left the priesthood and came over to the other side. God is still working, isn't he? Then on verse 8, we talk about Stephen again. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I'm sure that the other six did also. The Holy Spirit singles out Stephen because we're going to talk with him the rest of this chapter and through chapter 7. And so the Holy Spirit singles him out in verse 8. And notice it says that he was full of faith and power. Now the word faith here is a different Greek word than what we had in verse 5, full of faith. The word here is Christos, which actually should be translated grace. He was full of grace and of power, and he did wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Liberians. And they were Cyrenians and Alexandrians and them of Cilicia and Asia. And they disputed with Stephen. The Liberians it comes from a Greek word that means free man. What they were Jews that were once slaves of Rome. They were released from their slavery and went back to live in Jerusalem. And these were called Liberians. Now, whether there was five synagogues or all of these had gone to the same synagogue, it seems to me like there's one synagogue and different ones that were Rome slaves came from different areas. Just like Alexandria, they were Egypt, but they were still slaves of Rome. Paul came from Cilicia. I think it's chapter 21:39. You read where Paul says that he was from Cilicia. Anyway, all of these, they resisted the wisdom. They were able to resist the wisdom of Stephen. But this didn't help things. Even though they were not able to resist his wisdom and the Spirit which he spake, they still didn't believe, didn't they? Then they suborned men. And the word suborn here has a thought, it's a legal word that's used, and it means to bring under control by offering people money or something, you know, you get things under your control. I think the thought that we have in using this word was the fact that they probably took a bribe to give a false oath, is the thought I believe we have in there. Anyway, and they said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Now, the word blasphemous comes from a compound Greek word, blepto, B-L-A-P-T-O, blepto, meaning to hurt or to harm, to injure, phemi. The Greek word phemi, meaning to speak, a speak things that will injure someone, is a thought that we have in the word blasphemy. They meaning to speak or to say or to tell something. But so they told hurtful words about Stephen. And they said that Stephen told hurtful words concerning Moses and God, against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and it came upon them and caught him and brought him to the council. The people, the elders, and the scribes. Doesn't mention the Pharisees in this verse. I mean the Sadducees, rather. Doesn't mention the Sadducees in this verse at all. He set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Notice they said in verse 14, for we have heard him say, and we had this back in verse 11, we have heard him speak these words. And this was no doubt lies that they heard him speak these words. Someone said, well, it might have been just a misunderstanding. Well, it's possible. You know, Jesus said in John 4 when he was talking to the woman at the well, the woman says, we worship in this mountain and you are 19. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Of course, I know he didn't say that. But anyway, Jesus said unto her, now this is what Jesus said concerning Jerusalem and worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour cometh. A new order is on its way, is a thought that we have in it. And now is, when the true worshipers that worship the Father shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. And for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, this is what Jesus said. It caused this woman to see that this was the Messiah. Now, if Stephen had quoted from this, I'm not saying he did, but if he did, they surely misunderstood him. Didn't show them that he was the Messiah. It stirred them up even yet more. Jesus had made the statement, but he said that they'd destroy the temple and that it'd be raised in 3 days. I think this is in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, if I remember right. It would be destroyed and raised in 3 days. But he was talking about his body there. Anyway, he said, you're going to change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly toward him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. In other words, the glow, the Shekinah glory of God shining from him is what we're talking about. Nobody knows what the face of an angel is. But the glow that they saw upon him, that they knew it, that it was supernatural. It wasn't just something that they would see. Well, it didn't change their mind any. They still stoned him. Same way we people today, they might know that something is of God and it might be true, but they stoned him anyway.